Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
You know, I thought it was as good a game as we've had conference-wise, you know, since I've been here. I thought that, you know, defensively they did a great job. You know, we had a very, very sour taste in our mouth after losing two.
Heard the excitement from Eric Musselman following the win over the Georgia Bulldogs on Saturday, and he had a lot of reason to be happy because of the way they played, especially in the second half. And we'll get into that game. What were your thoughts on Arkansas's annihilation of the Georgia Bulldogs Saturday afternoon? 877-377-6963.
RV show pricing has arrived early at Will's RV in Springdale. They bring you Hot Take Monday here every Monday on the Morning Rush, and Will's RV wants to invite you to skip the lines and the crowds this year at the RV shows and shop the industry's best brands at Northwest Arkansas's premier RV dealer. They have lifetime warranties, RV storage, and mobile service shuttles to take care of your RV. So owning a new RV has never been easier. RV show pricing right now at Will's RV, 5 miles west of exit 72 off I-49 in Springdale. Seek, explore, and discover with Will's RV.
I think it was really impressive that Arkansas managed the game in the form and fashion they did. And I think this was a Scotty Borderland stat. The 36 field goals that Arkansas had, 24 of those were assisted. So, and you think about a team that shot 52% in the basketball game, that they just looked really good offensively, and they got out and ran and ran and ran in the second half against Georgia, which was fun. They won that game by 30, 99-69. And I think it's really also encouraging to see these freshmen, Jalen Williams, Devontae Davis, and Moses Moody. Moses had a bounce back game. Devo had his best game to date. And then Jalen's just a force on both ends, and he's starting to come into his own a little bit. That's fun to watch. Now, you did get some bad news. K.K. Robinson out for the season. He had surgery Sunday on a fracture in his foot. So that's another injury that Arkansas is going to have to deal with as far as their rotation. But there are a lot of positives that you can take out of the game on Saturday.
Yeah, and they put that baby to bed early. You know, it was fairly competitive the first 10 minutes that Arkansas pulled away, but built eventually a 35-point lead with 6 minutes to go in this ball game. And you know, Saturday, really, they found some scoring, maybe found some confidence in that offense. This was one of those games where they wanted to play at a certain tempo. You felt like the Arkansas-Georgia matchup would lend for a lot of points. About 10 minutes into the game, you wondered, is like 13-13 or something. In the last 30 minutes was an offensive explosion for this team.
And I think you've liked both the offense and defensive output that you've seen from this team so far this year. Yes, there needs to be improvement in certain areas, but you have a top 45 team in both offensive and defensive efficiency. And a lot of you will look to just this 99 points that they were able to score, but they also contained Georgia really in the second half. Now, Wheeler had some say in that game, but I mean, that guy is so difficult to defend, so fast, but you did limit Georgia to 43% shooting. And I've enjoyed watching this basketball team grow and hopefully continue to come together, but it's not going to be easy this week. You're having to play two of the best teams in the Southeastern Conference, LSU on Wednesday, who's undefeated, and then Alabama on Saturday, who's undefeated. Tommy, and as you mentioned earlier in the program, both those games being on the road.
Yeah, and if you got a schedule out there, it may say 8 o'clock for the LSU game. That game has been moved to 6 o'clock for TV. So if you have a printed schedule that says 8, don't pay attention to that because it will be a 6 o'clock game. I believe it's ESPN2 for that game. So pay attention to that for the time change that's been decided for Wednesday night's game against LSU. So this is a big week. I mean, you'd love to split. Yeah, you'd love to win them both, but you'd probably feel a whole lot different about your basketball program if you could come away 2-0 this week. And the reality is you could play well twice and lose twice.
And I think you brought up a good point. You take a split, and Eric Musselman and his crew won't necessarily say that out loud, especially amongst the players.
They'll say it quietly, though.
They'll say it quietly amongst the
in the office with the door closed. Staff.
I mean, this is, if you look at KenPom's rankings, LSU and Alabama are top 30 on KenPom. I don't know what their net rankings are, but Arkansas's got actually a really relatively high net ranking based on the teams and the wins they've had so far this season, and the close loss to Tennessee didn't hurt that by any stretch of the imagination. You would like to see this team be able to split against one this week, and I know that no one listening likes Will Wade, but Nate Oates at Alabama has really done a really good job for the Crimson Tide. His basketball team is fun to watch, and that's going to be an up-and-down game on Saturday when they take on the Arkansas Razorbacks.
And that game may favor Arkansas more because of the pace, because of the high-scoring nature. I mean, it's going to be strength on strength there, but and it would probably be more impressive at this point just because of league standings and where things are at if Alabama was the team you could beat. Now, Alabama's got to play Kentucky. And you say, Kentucky's down. Well, don't look now, but Kentucky's, what, 3-0 in the league? So here come the Wildcats. When you thought they were down and out and this was not going to be their year, not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say, because Kentucky has starting to get their confidence back and to get their feet under them. I don't know if they're hitting their stride yet. One of those wins is over Vanderbilt, who Arkansas gets to play coming up. Here you can never count out Kentucky. They're proving it once again.
By the way,
not so fast, my friends.
Do we see him in 2021 with ESPN?
Lee, probably.
It's hard to. I love Lee Corso. He's been a part of my life since I watched college football, but it was hard to watch him at times this season, and I hate saying that, but that's just how it is.
They have not found anyone else to put the mascot head on at the end of the program. No. So, and that's the biggest moment on college game day. That's what everyone tunes in for.
That's you couldn't be more right on that.
Until they can replace that, he's probably going to remain a part of that.
Yeah.
And then his role will get smaller and smaller.
I was going to say, maybe they just bring him in the last segment just for the picks and the mascot head, because it's tough as far as just watching him this season. I hate that because I love Lee Corso, but that's just kind of where you're at right now. Any other thoughts on this game before we get into Hog Update stuff?
I think Vanover, I don't want to read too much into Vanover's 3 minutes and 17 seconds and write him off for the year. I know some have wanted to do that. I don't think that that's the case at all. I do think his minutes will diminish. I do think Jalen Williams' minutes will grow. I think it just comes down to matchups, and Vanover was not the right fit for the matchups on Saturday. It was clear from the start, and that's why he was taken out, early in the ballgame.
Claude texts in from Fort Smith. He says, if Arkansas plays like they did on Saturday, they'll win both games again. You would love to see a similar type of performance against LSU this coming Wednesday, and they would like to hopefully be propelled by that. We'll see if they can kind of galvanize what they're able to do at home and bring that to a road environment. While the Pete Maravich Center isn't going to be a full house, it's just more difficult to play on the road, as we know, than it is when you're playing at Bud Walton Arena.
I completely agree with the thought about if you play like you did. Just remember, if you had played like you did at Auburn, you would have beaten Missouri, but you didn't. So just because you had 90-something points, 99 this week, you had 90-something points against Auburn, does not mean you're going to turn around and back that up with the same performance, because we've already seen this year that doesn't hold from game to game.
And we'll close down the basketball conversation with this. You kind of wondered about the rotation. Eric Musselman felt like it was a lot more solidified on Saturday.
Like, I knew when Justin was out that we were going to go through an adjustment period. Hopefully it was those two games, and now we figure out who we are moving forward. I don't know if that's the case. I'll probably tell you after we play LSU and Bama if we figured it out. But that's at least how I felt from a rotation standpoint tonight. I felt much more comfortable, with our rotation.
Yeah, when you win a game by 30, that's
right.
A lot of times leads to that.
But if it's a game that's going to be played in the 90s, and that's the kind of game, I don't think Vanover can play that many minutes. I just don't think you can involve. I think it depends on the kind of game you're going to be in. What kind of slugfest are you going to be involved in? And he doesn't fit an up and down the floor transition game. You're shorthanded if he's out there.
And if they don't have a traditional big on the other end, you're not going to see much of him this season.
Totally agree.
What's just going to happen? And listen, there's some games that he's going to be a force in. There's other games you're not going to see him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it comes down to one thing. getting the W. Yeah. And I think he knows that, and he's okay with that.
But don't completely write him off. He's not done for the year.
I wouldn't say that, but I think you are going to see his minutes diminish to what they were at the beginning of the season.
I agree with that.
And there was a lot of people they see. And listen, I like Connor. I always say this. I want to preface this always. I wanted to slow down the hype train a little bit when it came to him, because you saw a 7-footer that you could shoot, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's Dirk Nowitzki. It's like, just chill a little bit. 877-377-6963, the number to call or text in this morning if you want to talk college football national championship, you want to talk about what's going on with Brad Davis, you want to talk about this potential bill that could remove private schools and public schools competing in the state of Arkansas athletically. PA wants to talk a little Arkansas basketball this morning. PA, you go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to Connor Vanover, and I like the kid. I really do. But until he can guard the rim, and I think that's what Musselman really had in mind for him, not sitting out there busting three balls, you know, because he's shooting it just dead on. He has no arc on his shot. He's rushing it, and you know, if somebody even shorter than he is, which everybody is, he's rushing his shot from the outside, and it has no chance to go in unless he banks it in. And he's not guarding the rim. They're just giving him one juke and going to the other side of the rim, and he can't get there to block it. Well, I hate to say it, you become a liability. I don't care who you are, Musselman is not going to play you. I mean, he had that guy from, was it Vance Davis or the guy from Georgia? He was knocking the bottom out of him, but he wasn't playing defense, so they took him out of the game. You know, they took him out of the rotation until he learned how to play defense. But if you're not a positive for the team, as far as being able to be an all-around good player, well, you're not going to play. That's just the way Musselman does, and I hate it for Connor Vanover, but what can you do if you can't block a shot, you can't make a shot, and you can't get up and down the floor? I mean, what do you do?
You hold a chair down.
Exactly.
Cheer on your teammates. PA, we appreciate your call this morning. This could be two consecutive games this week where Connor doesn't see a lot of minutes with LSU. And I forgot about this. You know whose son plays for LSU?
Patrick?
Shaquille O'Neal. Oh, okay. Sharif. So I complete, because he transferred from UCLA to the LSU Tigers either this past offseason or the offseason before, and I completely forgot about Shaktis's son. You think he'd come on the program on Wednesday?
Sure.
To preview the game?
Jenkins, get that done for us over there. All right, SmackDown?
That would be the best the best guest booking.
Surely you could get Shaquille O'Neal on the program before Wednesday.
Here's what I'll do. I'll text. We had John Kincaid on the show, who does now he does.
Well, don't give all the secrets away right here, so everybody else can get him.
I'll text Kincaid to see if we can get him on the show.
I don't think anybody's getting Shaq.
I don't know if Shaq gets up this early, so I'm putting thoughts into people's heads where I have no chance of actually achieving that. Because
zero.
He would be the.
It was like that whole eating healthy thing. There was a 0% chance.
Had a beautiful, as it is National Milk Day, had a beautiful healthy milkshake to round out the weekend last night with lots of fantastic.
You keep
healthy.
Lying like that, they're going to shut you down on Twitter.
So, all right, let's go and get into our hog update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
Woo!
Oh! Yes, sir!
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you.
Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, the Hog Update brought to you by Pradco Fishing. Hey, whether you're fishing for cold water bass on Beaver Lake or Table Rock, or you're looking for that trophy brown we always are talking about, on the Great White River. The Smithwick Original Suspending Rattler Rogue will catch them. It has that famous rolling action, whether it's fished extremely slow or worked fast in heavy current. This rogue suspends, and so it will stay in the strike zone longer, allowing you to catch more fish. You can find the Smithwick Original Suspending Rattler Rogue at Walmart, Bass Pro Shops, Academy, and LureNet.com, and at tackle stores all over the state. That's the Smithwick Original Suspending Rattling Rogue.
Football Scoop reporting that the USC Trojans and Clay Helton are trying to hire away Brad Davis from the Arkansas football team. Not a lot of seemingly connections there, but as prestigious as a program as USC is, I would understand if Coach Davis at least heard them out or his agent heard them out. I don't. Sure. How does that? So is it? Do agents only communicate when stuff like this happens and they relay it to the client, or do the coaches and stuff actually?
Depends on who your agent is. Yeah. But I'm sure agents are always trying to conjure up things like this so that your client has leverage with the school that wants to retain you. You got to be careful. Make sure the school wants you. We know that Arkansas does want Brad Davis to stay. So, you know, you can't keep going back to the well for raises year after year. I can't imagine Brad Davis wants to go to a place where he seemingly has little recruiting ties or experience, but hey, USC's a school you got to listen to and pay attention to, because USC is still USC.
Speaking of recruiting, you got some bad recruiting news over the weekend. Four-star athlete Clarendon Jr. Quincy McAdoo has committed to the Florida State Seminoles. Now, you mentioned it's over on the other side of the state. I had no idea where Clarendon was.
On the east side of the state.
With Mike Norvell being at Memphis, having ties there, I just assumed that it was on the east side with the connection there.
We had a text earlier that this was some fallout from Justin Stepp leaving. I don't know if that's accurate or not. Maybe that's a Richard Davenport question for Thursday morning. There's still plenty of time. This is a commitment, not a signing. So still time for maybe the Arkansas staff to maybe pitch their case. You never want to see a four-star athlete leave your state, go anywhere else. Florida State's better than going to another SEC opponent, but still, four-star athletes leaving your state, not a good thing. Good enough to play at Florida State, I promise you, good enough to be at Arkansas.
It was painful to watch Trey Norwood, seeing the success he had at Oklahoma, especially in the Big 12 championship, picked off Brock Purdy. He's been good for them, and I know Bielema didn't recruit him because he was too small, which...
Wrong.
Just not a... And then his cousin... why am I blanking on his cousin? Drayden, his cousin Drayden, who has elected to become a Texas A&M Aggie.
That's worse.
Exactly. Worse. It's worse because that's an in-state kid, second highest recruit in your class, and he's going...
Same every year.
Yeah, and he's going to a rival and an SEC West rival for that matter. So hopefully Arkansas will be able to get Quincy to change his mind and reconsider, like the basketball team did with Devo Davis.
You know, again, you got time and how much they put into recruiting this kid at this point, or whether it was Step. I don't know the backstory on this, but any time you have a four-state kid leave your state, it hurts. It would hurt even worse, though, if he was going to Ole Miss, Mississippi State, A&M, Alabama, Auburn, someone in your division that you got to see this guy every year. That would hurt even worse.
Yep, you're exactly right. And speaking of Richard, if you hadn't gotten a chance to listen to the first edition of Trusting the Process, he was fantastic. I highly encourage you to do that. HitThatLine.com, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to podcasts, it is on our Hit That Line podcast network. Got some bad news concerning Arkansas basketball, y'all. KK Robinson out for the season. He had surgery on Sunday and to repair a fracture in his foot. This is tough news for a kid that has a lot of potential playing basketball at Arkansas, and we're, at least for the time being, it's done this year.
Yeah, and another hit for Eric Musselman, and I asked earlier, how does this start affecting your practice until Justin Smith's back? You take two of your scholarship players, you get 13. I know obviously that still leaves you 11, but that does, I would imagine, hurt the way you can go about really keeping your full-scale practices at the level you want to keep them to as well.
Mm-hmm. So last Hog update tidbit I want to share with you all this morning. Rivals listed 10 top redshirt freshman in 2020, Jalen Catlon wound all the way up at 3. And he only was behind Spencer Rattler, quarterback for Oklahoma, and then Kyren Williams, running back for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who both had great seasons this year. So once again, Jalen Catlon not just getting recognized in state for his ability, but nationally, like, people know how good this kid is, and I am so excited for his career at Arkansas.
And obviously Oklahoma and Notre Dame had much better years as a team, so for Jalen to be on a team that won 3 games this year, he'd have been on a team that had won 5 or 6 or 7, you know, I don't know if he'd have been ahead of those guys, but pretty good company to be in, particularly considering where your team finished.
And it's always, we discussed this last week with the Heisman Trophy, defense just is never going to get as much credit as the offense sure. does. That's always, and
it's, teams with 3 wins don't get as much attention yeah, either.
And so he has those 2 knocks against him when it comes to that. But it's cool to see Jalen. I'm really excited for this upcoming season mm-hmm. to see how much even more he can flourish in year number 2 at Barry Odom.
Can't have a sophomore slump, that's for sure.
Exactly right.
Yeah. All right, those are your headlines brought to you by Standard Materials Group. They have immediate openings for ready-mix drivers in the Northwest Arkansas area. So listen up. If you have a CDL license without an automatic restriction, you want to be home at night, you want to watch that national championship game tonight instead of driving, you want to work with a company that offers great pay, great benefits, and a great team environment with growth opportunities, hey, apply today at jobs.crh.com. Again, that's jobs.crh.com. Standard Materials Group is an equal opportunity employer.
We struck a nerve with this high school conversation with private and public schools potentially no longer competing at the Arkansas athletics level. And I think we've gotten a bunch of text in, and a majority just from the side of that they should potentially do this. I know Jeremy and Harrison was talking about there's not going to be a lot of sympathizers with private schools, and he is all for it. And I'd like to get some more thoughts on this, because this is could be a pivotal change within the realm of high school athletics in the state of Arkansas.
I want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach pear. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Let's hear what Kyle in Greenwood has to say about the potential of dividing up public and private schools athletically. Kyle, what are your thoughts this morning, man?
I came from Greenwood. We've played them Pulaski Academy multiple times, and we've beaten them. They've beaten us. It's a battle that shouldn't be fought in government. It should be handled by the AAA. But I think a lot of teams just get intimidated by the name. If they just show up and play, they can be beaten. That's along with any private school in the state of Arkansas. There hasn't been one that's just flat out dominates every single year. Just don't be intimidated by the name and just be ready to play.
So just to be clear, as a public school Greenwood graduate, you would not be in favor of passing this bill if it gets through and stuff. You would be in favor of keeping things where they are, publics and private schools competing against each other.
Absolutely. I mean, they say they recruit and whatnot. Show up, beat the best, and then that way there's no way nobody can say you're not the best team in the state if you're a high school kid.
Kyle, appreciate the call this morning. I really don't have like a dog in this fight one way or another. Like, I wouldn't care. Maybe I'd change my mind after a couple years if they ended up doing this, and I'd be frustrated. But I mean, if they did this, I don't know how it would look logistically. I don't know how that would match up, because I mean, Tommy, there's not a lot of private schools in the state.
Just yeah, exactly. The number of schools there's more than you probably think, but very few on the level that if you put them all in one classification together, or one group together, there are haves and have-nots within that group, just like there are in the public school system. Plus, if you have a great football team, whether it's Pulaski Academy or Harding Academy or Shiloh Christian, those are 3 state champions from this year, whoever the champion of the private school championship, and this is about football, so let's just keep it about football. There's always going to be the conversation or people that delegitimize your public school champion because they said, well, you know, but if they'd actually had to play this school over here, they wouldn't have won. There's always going to be that debate that you leave open-ended by dividing and separating. If, you know, if the state legislature does indeed move forward and get involved, that becomes a conversation. Again, I go back to what I said in the last segment. The Arkansas Activities Association has a governing board made up of their own, you know, made up of school administrators that are elected by the schools.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be a vote of the body. This needs to be a vote of these schools. If the schools themselves want to make a change, then they need to make the change. I don't like the idea of the state legislature getting involved in making these changes.
I'd like to hear someone. So we just heard from someone that went to a public school. I'd like to hear some the other side that went to a private school. Again, I went to private. I don't care one way or another. This doesn't affect me. At least to my knowledge, I wouldn't think it would. But I'd like to hear the other side of the story. And I think you bring up an excellent point. So Texas, for example, has the private schools and public schools split, and the much tougher division is the public schools. And I think when you win a private schools championship, it's not looked down upon, but it's like, well, you didn't necessarily play the stiffest of competition, I feel like. At least it's the perspective I have from knowing Texas high school football.
Well, let's just say this last year, this was in place. And whoever won the 5A championship, where PA would have been, where Little Rock Christian would have been, are all of the fans around the state going to say, yeah, that's the legitimate 5A state champion when PA would have been or Little Rock Christian would have been in that classification? Is it going to be a fulfilling full state championship? Now, if you're on that team, you're the coach of that team, you're a player on that team, absolutely. But a lot of people would look at that and say, well, you know, they may have won the state title. But if they had to play PA or Little Rock Christian, and you could say take that same conversation to 4A, 3A, mm-hmm. you know,
it's applicable any division.
It appears correct. To be that the sore spot with those that want this bill passed is with 3, 4, and 5A football, particularly 5A football in our state. You look at volleyball, you look at basketball, you look at other sports, there doesn't seem to be a private school domination of state titles. But you look in football, there's been a lot of success from Pulaski Academy, Little Rock Christian, Shiloh Christian's over, you know, going back to the 90s when Gus Malzahn was a young coach there, very dominant, and it's had its ups and downs, but it seems to be doing very well lately and won the state title this year. Harding Academy's been a program on the rise, has played very well over the last 10 years. So that's what those behind this bill seem to be aimed at stopping.
Let's go to Clinton, Arkansas, and welcome in Chris. Chris, you got about a minute to get your thoughts in, bud. Go ahead.
I'm like you. I don't have a dog in this fight, but some of the argument is the recruiting of private schools through the school's choice. The public schools recruit as well. They've seen it happen. It's happening at Bryant High School right now. It's happened at North Little Rock. So there's recruiting going on both sides through the school's choice. I just don't feel that that is a valid point. I'll give y'all's opinion on that.
Chris, appreciate the call. We've had a couple people text in about recruiting, the tuition benefits and stuff like that. When it comes to, I mean, that happens regardless if it's public or private, what you mentioned. Now, a lot of these private schools academically are superior to the public schools that they are. It just kind of depends on what you're wanting to go to school for specifically. I think there's a lot of elements within this argument that you can make. And again, kind of like you said, I don't care if they do this. I think what you said is it delegitimizes the champion a little bit.
On both sides.
100%.
And I think that if there needs to be adjustments made to the multiplier, because the private schools operate with a multiplier on them, if the body the Arkansas Activities Association's body of schools feels there needs to be adjustments there, let them make it again.
Mm-hmm.
I just come from the perspective, let's not get the state government involved. Let's let the schools handle their own business.
Try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ballgame.
Had some great NFL playoff games that we got to watch over the weekend. I know that many of you were happy to see certain occurrences within these games, and many of you were disappointed. And we'll start with the game last night between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, where our own Phil Elson was mightily disappointed. Jenkins, you can't have fun with him today, though. I was texting you yesterday, and I was like, this is going to be an opportunity for you to take advantage of, especially because he has not held back when discussing your Dallas Cowboys.
It's all fun and games today, so...
Yeah, Big
it's
Ben.
Be fun to listen to at halftime today.
Big Ben with tears in his eyes as he left the field last night. So
it's a big day for halftime today too, because all our game day picks are within like 2 points of each other.
Oh wow!
So tonight's going to be a lot of fun.
There you go.
So it all boils down to tonight.
I'm tied with Phil for the lead, and Matty T's two behind.
Kind of like you guys did. I remember when it came down to the first score of the game or whatever, and you about turned the table over at JJ's a couple of years ago.
And if you've been listening, if Phil loses, he has to say foul lines and foul poles throughout the whole Razorback baseball season, which is...
Now, does that include during the Razorback baseball broadcast?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. If I lose, I have to watch The Exorcist. If Matty T loses, he has to watch next weekend's all NFL football games.
So it's all on the line tonight.
It's all on the line tonight.
All right.
When Tommy was discussing, Jenkins, you weren't here yet, but when Alabama and Tua Tagovailoa took on Clemson, when Trevor Lawrence was a freshman, our series came down to who was going to score the opening touchdown, and didn't look good because Clemson, I think, went 3-and-out, and then they tried to run a bubble screen for, I want to say it was Devontae Smith, and A.J. Terrell just picked it off and took it to the house, so it was glorious.
But great game last night. I mean, if you're a fan of the upset, and you know Baker Mayfield played awfully well, threw three touchdowns, 263 yards in the ball game. Big Ben had four touchdowns, but the four interceptions what smoked him.
Yeah, and here was some sound from that game last night. Baker Mayfield performance.
Mayfield, the throw caught over the middle by Landry, Jarvis Landry inside the 10, and Jarvis Landry has a touchdown. It's almost like 18 years of frustration. It's like a volcano right now.
And while there was not any attendees for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you could just feel the entire city of Cleveland just so happy, so like so much revenge took place last night that they were able to take advantage of. And it was beautiful.
And they got to feel good about it most of the way, because when you jump out 28-0 in the first quarter, I mean, you know, I guess you're praying to hold on for dear life, and
especially as a Browns fan.
It got down to what, 13 there or whatever in the fourth quarter. I guess the final was 48-37, but it was never really uncomfortable for Browns fans. Yes, a 28-point lead evaporated. You had to have known that was going to happen, but you never really felt threatened. The game was never really, even into the fourth quarter, on the line, so to speak.
And they got within, I want to say, with 13 at a certain point. They were trying an onside kick, or maybe 11, but they just weren't.
Oh, well, it ended up final was 11, but I mean, with the time that was on the clock there at the end, it didn't matter.
Yeah, it's too much for that, and it was just cool to see how many Browns fans were excited. James and Charleston said his Colts should have won. We'll go there. The Buffalo Bills, that was the first game on Saturday between the Buffalo Bills and the Colts. Here's a touchdown pass from Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs in that football game.
Fake it. Allen. Deep shot. Touchdown! On the line to Stephon Diggs.
That connection this season has been incredible for the Buffalo Bills. You think about the addition of Stephon Diggs in the offseason. They trade him for the pick that ended up being Justin Jefferson, which is it's really paid out for both parties, the way Jefferson's played as a rookie and the way Stephon Diggs is connected with Josh Allen this year. But that game was a lot closer than I anticipated. Yeah. Phillip Rivers and company, they were very close from winning that game.
Yeah, 14-10 at the half, ends up a field goal ball game, probably. Watched most of the first half of this one, then went over. This was the same time as the Arkansas basketball game. I was just too lazy to set up two TVs, and that was probably good because I probably would have ended up not paying much attention to either, or not as much of attention to I needed to the Arkansas game and watching this one, because this one was a great game throughout. Not as much scoring in the third quarter, but really missed a good second half of football between these two if you watched the Arkansas basketball game.
Maybe the biggest surprise game over the weekend was the Los Angeles Rams defeating the Seattle Seahawks 30-20, and where Seattle's offense just couldn't get going. Here's some audio from that game.
Positive for the rest
Watch
of
out here! Picked Williams! Touchdown Rams!
A four wide receiver set, and Troy, they tried to force it to DK Metcalf, and there was Darius Williams for the touchdown.
I know a lot of Packers fans are happy that Russell Wilson, they don't have to beat him. They instead get the Los Angeles Rams, which the defense for Los Angeles with Aaron Donald in the middle, Jalen Ramsey on the outside, it's no joke, but I think the Packers, Brett Good could probably tell us this on Wednesday, a lot more excited about a matchup with the Rams than the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, and you know, I know home field advantage is different in Green Bay than maybe Seattle, but that was one place that certainly was a lot different with Seattle for that playoff game with nobody in the stands, no 12th man, as the Rams took full advantage of that environment.
Probably the most boring game of the weekend took place between the New Orleans Saints and the Chicago Bears. It really started out, and I'm forgetting the guy that dropped it. Darnell Mooney was not playing in that game. It might have been Anthony Miller, but they had a flea flicker that Mitch Trubisky threw on a dime, and the wide receiver just muffed it, and that really set the tone for the Bears that whole game. But here's a Drew Brees touchdown.
First and 10, complete. Touchdown, Michael Thomas. It's been a long time since Michael Thomas was in the end zone.
Michael Thomas, former Ohio State Buckeye and one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League, completely changes that team. He's been out so many games this season. They put a statistic up there that was a CBS game. Jim Nance and Tony Romo were talking about it, that him, Drew Brees, and Kamara had only played like 62 snaps all on the field at the same time this season. I believe that was the stat. So he completely changes that football team. And I'm excited to see what the New Orleans Saints can do. They've already crushed the Buccaneers twice this season. Once again, they have to defeat Tom Brady to move on to the NFC Championship game.
Two first ballot Hall of Famers with Brees and Brady going to go head-to-head. And Drew Brees at 42 years old, still getting it done.
Yeah, and so. Brady's, what, 43?
40, yeah, I guess
that,
that's right.
That's right. So that's I think it's 1 year older than him, which is just wild to me.
His mileage seems lower though.
Yeah, because of that TB diet. Last game we'll talk about,
is that the one you're on?
I am not on that. last game that we'll talk about was Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He had himself a whale of a day.
Leonard Ford at the back on 3rd and 3. Play action, Brady to his second look. It's open. It's Antonio Brown for the touchdown.
Tom Brady gave Chase Young all he could handle. It was a class move from Chase Young to find him after the game and talk to him. But as a young rookie, I know you say you want to compete against the best. It's exactly what you did. Even at the age of 43, which Tom is, he can still get it done.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
All right, let's welcome in Tom Murphy this morning. Tom, you wrote a really good piece that I read over the weekend talking about just the starting lineup and the adjustment of minutes. They have a new starting lineup this past Saturday, and really the team as a whole, especially in the second half, takes off. What did you think of Eric Musselman's adjustments starting with just kind of his lineup and his rotation on Saturday?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it was my view that after that Missouri game, there seemed to be a gaping hole in the 4 spot.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly from a rebounding standpoint. So I thought they have to find a way to get Vance Jackson comfortable and productive, and they've done that the last 2 games. You've seen he's been on his shooting game from 3-point range. I think he's 50% the last 2 games. But I also thought that the starting of Devo Davis, the extended minutes for him, he looked like he was an offensive dynamo early in that game. And I think when he understands he's going to have minutes, I think we might see a more, you know, more productive and a more patient, I guess, Davis, even though he plays so fast. Because I think when you're not sure of your minutes, you want to go out there and do extra stuff. And he's the kind of guy that if he's in the game for an extended period, he took over in scoring. That left-handed hook he made basically at full speed, left-handed bank shot hook, was an unbelievable shot. And you can see those freshmen are growing, particularly him and Jalen Williams, are growing in confidence with their minutes going up. And that's going to be, to me, a side benefit of being without Justin Smith for another few games.
One of the things, Tom, that Eric Musselman praised Devo Davis off after the game, not only just his offense, but his defense. And you think about how good Wheeler was for Georgia on Saturday. He was really the only guy that could score consistently against Arkansas. Devo was hounding him on the other end, and they're also trying to double-team him. I'm going to be honest, Tom. I'm surprised as good as he's looked at times this season, because I was under the impression from different people I talked to kind of close to the basketball program that he wasn't as far along as some of the other freshmen. But, man, that game against Georgia, I think those people and really me, we might be wrong about this kid at least early on in his career.
Well, I don't know if you can expect 20 points on a regular basis, but the game just came to him, and mm-hmm. he had the ball in his hands when there was some, you know, space to go to the rim or get in the lane. He did a lot of his work in the mid-range in that game. And a lefty shooter is just so different to see. And I don't know. There's some spark about him. And I do like the way that Eric Musselman talked about how on a game-to-game basis, they really look at matchups. For instance, who was the tall? There was a tall player. The Auburn point guard that they wanted Desi Sills on to have lower leverage to try to swipe at the ball. They really hounded that kid, and I forget his name. I touted freshman Powell, I think his name. And so on a game to game basis, how they deploy Tate and how they deploy Devo and Desi and Moses, their guard, is going to be fascinating to watch, starting with LSU this week.
Yeah, obviously a big week. You got two road games, LSU and Alabama. Alabama has to take on Kentucky before they see Arkansas on Saturday. But Arkansas's got a tough LSU team that's 8-2. Tom, this is it's a tough week where you feel like if you could split somehow, you'd be ahead of the game.
I think so. I mean, Eric Musselman talked about that opening stretch, Auburn, Missouri, you know, Tennessee being tough. Well, this one's really tough. When I look at LSU, I see a team that often plays at the level of its opponent. They play a tough, tough game, then, you know, they're in it. You know, they play Kentucky on the road or something like that. They're in the game. But then, you know, they were the team that I believe was unbeaten last year, 10-0, and was the first team to lose to Vanderbilt. So, Arkansas and LSU have fantastic games typically, and I don't expect this one will be any different. A lot of the same cast of characters, Smart and Days and Warford, a very talented team, and of course then the newcomer Thomas.
Yeah, Cameron Thomas.
Scoring dynamo. So yeah. who they put on him, and I'm sure they're going to mix it up, is going to be very fascinating. And then of course the Bama game, and these are both road games. Yeah, I would say a split would be a good deal.
Yeah, late game on Wednesday night. Yeah, it's Wednesday night, 8:00 for that start at LSU. You mentioned Cameron Thomas. He's averaging over 22 points per ball game, and Darius Days, 8 rebounds a game. This is a matchup nightmare right now that I'm sure is a tough equation for Musselman and his staff to figure out.
I think so. I mean, they got height at guard. I mean, Smart's a tough guard.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas, I have not seen a lot of LSU, so I'm not sure, you know, how he's scoring. I'm sure he's very dynamic and talented and athletic. So, yeah, you're right. I'm sure they've gone into overdrive over the weekend to figure out how they're going to deploy their dudes against LSU. And then you turn around against Bama, and you got a dynamic three-point shooting team. You got tall guards in that game. So, Arkansas's depth and the freshmen are going to have to their level of play is going to have to be at or above what they've been playing the last couple of games to have a shot in these two games.
Tom Murphy with us here on the Morning Rush. Tom, when you look at what Jalen Williams is, I said in the offseason that I thought he was eventually going to take Connor Vanover's minutes and get more of those. Based on how he's played, based on how he's less of a defensive liability, I think, at times. Do you think Jalen Williams has earned the right for more playing time this season?
Yeah, I do, because like I was saying before, the longer he's in the game, I think the more comfortable you feel. He's a charge drawer. He's a rebounder. And he gave them some offense too. I mean, he had a little mid-range jumper and he can get to the rim. That's why now you were seeing why this class was so highly regarded, because they do have, I mean, they don't play timid when they're out there, and that's a great quality for them. Now, as far as Vanover's minutes, the guy Kamara was shooting threes on him early in the game, and he wasn't getting out there to close out. Obviously not the fastest of foot speed for Connor, but he does bring you some assets, and cleaning up around the basket has been one of those, and his three-point shooting. He did have the horrendous three-point shooting game against Missouri, but, you know, so did Desi. So I don't know how his minutes get deployed in the coming games. The rest of the season is going to be on a game-by-game basis for sure with Connor, because he does bring you some value. And I think when Desi Sills finds his groove again, it looked like he was kind of back at it a little bit. I like it when he drives hard to the hole. To me, that's his game. And then he combines that with three-point shooting, and then he's a dangerous player.
Tom, let's shift the conversation to the game tonight between Ohio State and Alabama. A lot of matchup that are going to be fun to watch, not just the quarterback with Matt Jones, Justin Fields, the coaching with Ryan Day and Nick Saban, but there are places all over the field that are going to be just five-star, four-stars going head-to-head. Who wins the national championship tonight?
Well, I think Alabama does, and the question being, will they cover or not? And I think it's around 8 points or so, which goes to show you that Ohio State gained a lot of respect after the way they wiped out Clemson, and they really did. Justin Fields' health, to me, is an issue, because if his ribs are hurting, you don't want to run him a whole lot because suddenly he could be out of the game. Alabama just presents such a difficult matchup for defenses right now because they have speed with Smith and Mechie on the other side, and if those guys – take away your safeties and pull guys deep, then they hit you with Forrestall over the middle and short and swing passes to Najee Harris. And Mac Jones in that offense is so patient. They'll just take what's there for them. And Harris, to me, probably the most dynamic runner in the college game. He breaks tackles. He gets low. He takes contact. He breaks tackles. He jumps over guys. This Alabama team may be the most explosive and talented offense they've had in the Saban era. They are that good. If Ohio State is in the game and makes it a tight fourth quarter game, then all respect to them. But I see Alabama winning and covering.
Yeah. If Alabama does go on and win the national title tonight, regardless of the outcome, winning 10 SEC games, beating Florida in the championship game, beating Notre Dame and then Ohio State tonight, where does this team rank all time in such an unusual season with unbalanced schedules? To accomplish those 13 wins, Tom, would be unprecedented.
It would be a seminal season out of many for Nick Saban, and I don't know if I'd call it their best team ever. I mean, it might end up being the most impressive list of wins if they win it tonight. But their defense isn't as good as some, like the probably 09 and some of the early teams or earlier part of the previous decade had better defenses. But I don't think there's any question that this is their most explosive, highest powered offense, even though they probably had more dynamic quarterbacks than Tua and Hurts and maybe another guy or two. But Mac Jones is far from the game manager like a Greg McElroy or a Jake Stoker was back at, Jake Coker was back in the day. He's a true talent himself, and that's why he was in the Heisman finalist group with his teammates and Trask and Fields, or excuse me, and Trevor Lawrence. So this Nick Saban won't say it, but this is going to be one of his biggest teams ever if they win it.
Tom, two NFL questions before we let you go. Joe Brady is a candidate for your Atlanta Falcons, man. What are your thoughts on the potential former LSU passing game coordinator, Carolina offensive coordinators where he's at currently. What are your thoughts on him potentially getting that job?
Yeah, you know, if you had asked me this 5 or 6 years ago, I'd have said, no, too much too soon, too young to do this. But now that we've seen Sean McVay do it with the Rams and do it very successfully, it seems like maybe he just connects with his players. They want a game this weekend. Then I probably wouldn't object to it. You know, they need to get a lot better on defense and find a way to keep Matty Ice productive. But I don't know. Eric Bieniemy seems like he's had a good career as a coordinator, so I wouldn't be opposed to him either. I just want to start winning again in what's turned into now a very, very tough division with the Saints and Bucks and Panthers.
Other news I wanted to ask you about. Deshaun Watson's reportedly wanting out of Houston. Any thoughts on where you think he would be a good fit if he ends up getting traded or getting sent somewhere else?
Yeah, I haven't given a lot of thought to that. Certainly a lot of respect. And Deshaun Watson is in that upper tier of quarterbacks now that are so dynamic. They make things happen in the pass game. They make incredible passes like Mahomes does, and they can run the ball too. What slays me, though, is some of the reporting yesterday was that, the Texans didn't even consider what their search committee said. So now you fault teams for not for hiring who they want as their general manager. That blows me away that, you know, a team gets shredded for, you know, not following certain advice. Now, they should have been listening to Deshaun Watson for sure, but I don't know. I just hope he finds a happy place because I think he's a great kid, and I don't know what the Texans are doing. They do seem to have been kind of bungled their management in recent years.
Tom, we appreciate it, buddy. We will speak again on Thursday, as we always do at 7:20.
Yep, sounds good. See y'all.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.